Excellent. Had the privilege of starting a women's program for advanced learning called Masoret. It was amazing working with Rabbi Rosenthal and creating this program. I learned so, so much. The program offered advanced, top-notch educators that provided Torah for women in New York and abroad that wanted to continue their Torah education post-high school. After graduating NYHS, Mrs. Weiss attended Masoret. Many of you benefited and currently benefit from Mrs. Weiss's teaching. Many of you benefited from Rabbi Rappaport's teaching. Mrs. Weiss, Rabbi Rappaport, and my teaching here in Seattle is due to Rabbi Rosenthal's hard work, dedication, commitment to Torah education. And this is just to name a few that you may know. The teachers that we have, the school that we have, the Torah education we have here in Seattle is on account of Rabbi Rosenthal. However, today is not just about appreciation, but it's about inspiration. It's about learning about the amazing qualities of Rabbi Rosenthal so that we can emulate them in our lives. The greatest way we can express our appreciation is to model the life he lived with his dedication to Torah. So without further ado, I invite you to listen very carefully to our next speakers who worked very closely with Rabbi Rosenthal and will share a small slice of his life. We will start our program first with David HaMelech's words of Tehillim, led by Mr. Al Maimon.
Please rise. Michtam le David, Shomreni el ki chasiti vach, Amart l'Adonai, Adonai ata, Tovati bal alecha, Likdoshim asher ba'aretz hema, Vadirei kochef tzivam. Irbu atzvotam acher, maharu bal asich niskehem midam, uval esa el shemotam al sifatai. Adonai, menad chilki vechosi, ata tomich gorali, chavalim nafluli baneimim, af nachalat shafera alai. Avarechet Adonai asher di atzani, af lelot iseruni chiliotai. Shiviti Adonai lenegdi tamid, כי מימיני בלמות, לכן שמח ליבי ויגל כבודי, אף בשרי ישכון לבטח, כי לא תעזוב נפשי לשאול, לא תיתן חסידך לראות שחת, תודיעני אורח חיים, סוב ושמחות את פניך, נעימות במנחה נצח. תודה
רבה.
ברשות הרבנים, ברשות הצדיקים, צדיקות. About 500 years ago, there was a rabbi. His name was Don Yitzhak Abarbanel in Spain. He happened to be the treasurer of Queen Isabella. And one day someone started speaking Lashon Hara about him, that he was taking money that did not belong to him. Money from the kingdom. She didn't believe it. At the end, she ended up believing it, and they said, "You know, let's do an experiment. Let's ask him how much he has." We made an estimation, and we think he has, I don't remember the amount. Let's say $10 million. Let's see what he says. So they bring him in. He says, "Don Yitzhak, how much money do you have? How much do you have? How much do I have? I have $2 million." Ah. He's lying. $2 million. We know we made an estimation. We have about 10. They throw him in jail. But then Queen Isabella, the kingdom is not going very well. So she needs to find a way to take him out and give him back his job. So she brings him out and says, "Listen, can you be honest? Can you just talk to me? We made an estimation. You have about $10 million. He says, "No." "Yes, you do." He says, "Well, you asked me, how much do I have? What I have is what I've given. That's all that I have. What I gave to Tzedakah, what I've done for Am Yisrael, that's all that I have. Everything else, you showed me that you can take it away in 1 second. But what I've done for Am Israel, no one can take away. That no one can take it away. I never had the merit, the zechut, of meeting or working with Rabbi Rosenthal. But what I've heard is incredible. This was a man that understood that Am Israel, giving to Am Israel, that's the only thing that we really have. This is everything. And he gave his life for this. And today, I can sit here in this room and enjoy the fruits of his labor. And one of the things that I've understood from what I've heard from Rabbi Rosenthal is that he lived with one question that we should all live with. And he answered it every single day. What are you living for? What are you living for? What are we here to do? What is it? What's important? How do we continue the Jewish people? How do we make Jewish people more successful? How do we bring more godliness into this world? And that was Rabbi Rosenthal. That's what I've learned from him, and it's a privilege and honor to be here today, and to Be'ezrat Hashem. Hashem should help me and all of us to live up to his dreams and his expectations. Thank you.
This is Maskot.
Good morning. And thank you so very much for giving me the privilege to speak about Rabbi Daniel Rosenthal, a dear friend. Rabbi Rosenthal and my husband were close friends that learned together in Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim in New York. And how fortunate are we that we were able to rekindle that friendship here in Seattle. Have you ever met a superhero? Some might wear capes, and sometimes they wear a talis. But this is a case where the clothing does not make the man. So then, what are the qualities that create a hero? My mentor Cinderella said, "A dream is a wish that your heart makes." I believe that a hero is someone who, through bravery, courage, and resilience, makes that dream come true. To understand the dream of Rabbi Rosenthal, Zichrono Livracha, you would have to go back to Seattle, 1974, when he was the headmaster of SHA. At that time, the Seattle Hebrew Academy was the only game in town. There was no high school, no kollel, no outreach programs, and no restaurants. Students who graduated from the eighth grade would need to leave home to dorm in a city which provided Jewish education. Rabbi Rosenthal was a visionary who realized that without continuing Torah education, our community could not grow Jewishly. So, at a great financial loss to himself and his family, he left his secure position at SHA to open a high school. This school was housed downstairs where the early childhood department currently lives. I see Rabbi Fox is enjoying those memories together with me. The school was then called Yeshivat Or HaTzafon, the Light of the North. At the time, we thought it was a great name, but when Rabbi Rosenthal started to fundraise, he was asked, "Is it Yeshiva or HaTzafon?" And so therefore today, it is called the Northwest Yeshiva High School. Some of us still affectionately refer to it as YOH. In 1979, Rabbi Rosenthal brought my husband, Rabbi Morton Moskowitz, Zichrono Livracha, to be the Rosh Yeshiva of the school. And at that time, The high school first welcomed their female students, and I was very privileged to teach all of them. Our beloved Leah Hannon, who was my student slash friend, was in my very first ninth grade class. I am grateful that many of these young ladies and many of my SH students today are still remain as special friends in my life. I cherish the memories of our early days in Seattle and of having the opportunity to witness the spiritual rebirth of our community. Let us now fast forward to 2024. The community that you live in today would not exist without the sacrifice of Rabbi Rosenthal and his Eshes Chayil Fruma Tibadel L'Chayim. That's something we say when we speak of someone who passed away and someone who is still living. And that's lovely. So you must be thinking, well, okay, so that was then, and this is now, and what does it have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. There are amazing educators and leaders in this community who are products of our high school. They would not be here to support you if there was no high school to support them. Rabbi Fox would not be here because my husband brought his beloved Talmud, Rabbi Fox, to Seattle to teach in the high school. Rabbi Weiss would not be here because his parents sent him from Pittsburgh to specifically attend this school. And Mrs. Weiss, who I had the pleasure to teach in fourth grade, left Seattle when she and Rabbi Weiss married and then returned for the purpose of teaching at SHA and in the high school. Rabbi Owen, who I also had the pleasure of teaching in fourth grade at SHA, was a student in the high school, later taught there, and became the Dean of Torah Studies, and now he is the headmaster of SHA. And so, one second, please. Go. Okay. There are 15 staff members at SHA and Ms. DeFunis, another beloved student, who all attended the Northwest Yeshiva High School. I therefore believe that we are deeply indebted to Rabbi Rosenthal, who fulfilled his dream, and his wife, who led him. How is it possible to repay this kind of debt? Each of you can repay this debt by paying it forward. When you use the education that was given to you to live a life of Torah and mitzvot to the best of your ability and become a vibrant part of this community, then you are enabling the seeds that Rabbi Rosenthal planted to bloom and flourish into a true Makom Torah. Yehi Zichro Baruch, may his memory be blessed. Thank you so much.
Let's get to Ahara. Wow. Wow. Look at this room. Look at this room. This room, these smiling, educated, bright, ambitious students are here because of Rabbi Rosenthal. Rabbi Rosenthal was a man of his time. Man of his time. How many of you in this room know the name Bill Gates? Can you raise your hand? So what did Bill Gates do? For those of you who didn't raise your hand, he started a little company called Microsoft. How many of you in this room know the name Steve Jobs? Okay. At about the same time, he did a little thing called Apple. These men were visionaries. They could see around corners. They could see a future. At the same time, at the same caliber, but at a higher level was Rabbi Rosenthal. Rabbi Rosenthal had a vision. And it was more than a vision, you know. He was more like Jobs. Jobs wanted to dent the earth. Rabbi Rosenthal dented the world. He dented the world with Torah. But more than with Torah, he dented the world with committed Jews. Jews who were passionate. Jews who wanted continuity in family, the beautiful life of Shabbat, the beautiful life of community. He dented the world by planting seeds that grew. So Mrs. Moskowitz said he saw a need for the young men of Seattle who didn't have a place for Torah education. So they had to go out and beyond. Well, I want to expand on what Mrs. Moskowitz said. All of you know that there's a wide spectrum of observance within our community, wide spectrum. And as Sephardic Jew, all good. Don't look left, don't look right, all good. But within that wide spectrum, there was families who grew up in the yeshiva world. There were families who grew up dedicated to Judaism. There were families who grew up dedicated to Torah learning. And they sent their children away. And that was the market. But Rabbi Rosenthal said, no, the market's bigger than that. How about the families that didn't have the benefit of growing up with a Torah education? How about the families that didn't have the benefit of a day school education? They could learn, and they could learn at an elevated level. And what was that level that Rabbi Rosenthal saw? With Orchat Tzafon in the basement. My youngest son was in that basement with him. Rabbi Rosenthal saw a future of a high school. And why a high school? And I was at the high school yesterday. And I said this yesterday, so for those of you that were there, I apologize for repeating myself. The high school, those of you here that are here K-8, okay, you're here K-8, you're done. So what do you have? You have an eighth grade education in life. You have the opportunity to go on to public school, which was all that was available then, and the influences of public school are overwhelming. Friday night football is a lot more fun than Friday night minha. You know, having to stay home on Shabbat versus going to the Husky game didn't sound so good. That's because you were uneducated, didn't know the difference, didn't understand the difference. So Rabbi Rosenthal saw that a high school education for young boys and young girls, men and women, would enable that growth. And that's the foundation that he built. He built a foundation here that is lasting, will continue to last. And, you know, he was a visionary. And not only as an educator. So for those of you in your futures, whatever you do, Torah is going to be at the center. But, you know, my grandpa Bihar, told me something about religion. He says it's like water. It's free. Only one problem. You have to pay for the plumbing. So Rabbi Rosenthal not only was there with the Torah, he was there with the financing of the Torah. He didn't have the luxury of being an educator. He had to be. You know, when Bill Gates started Microsoft, he had to go knock on doors for money. Steve Jobs had to knock on doors for money. And Rabbi Rosenthal knocked on doors for money. He went out, he brought in the community. He grew the community. And all I can say to you is that all of you are benefiting from that foundation which he built. And in your lives, how do you pay it forward? I think it's really in a couple of ways. One is how you live your lives, and how you live your lives as your parents are. And that it's a spectrum. So I'm not going to tell you what that is, just how you live your lives and how you pay it forward, how you give. And being a contributing member of society, being a Jew that is a contributing member of society. And that's what Rabbi Rosenthal was. And he took that same skill, that same foundation, that same base, and he went and he did it nationally. But I don't want you guys to do it nationally. I want y'all to come back here and do it. So I welcome the opportunity of being in this room. I'm going to take one last second and just say on a personal note, I think a number of you know that I'm a member of the SAMIS board. And Sam Israel appointed me as a trustee. And so what I see in this room, and we've given away at SAMIS over $100 million, over $80 million to day school education. So you got to get a return on your investment. So what do I see here? All you guys, you think of yourself as people, you're dividends. You're the dividends. You're the return on investment. The other thing that I see in this room is the first time I walked in it. First time I walked in this room, the ceiling was down to about this level. It was falling. It was all ruined. These beautiful windows all had Catholic images on them. This is a Catholic school. And it was just a whole different room. So it's just exciting to be in the Gladstein Auditorium here, thanking you and wishing all of you the best in your future success in life. And you're following in the footsteps of what Rabbi Rosenthal created. So best of luck to all of you. Chazak baruch.
Rabbi Levitin.
Yasher Kev, Rabbi Weiss, Rowan, Rebbetzin. I'm going to talk about Rabbi Rosenthal more, the Chava, although I'm older, younger than him. When I came, we came out in the Shtaket to settle with an October of 1972. Came out early in the summer before that for a week. With Chava, we came from two different kind of backgrounds. Myself and Rabbi Daniel, and he had his approach, had my approach. But we were Chavedim, and whatever kind of differences we might have, which is very rare today, it was never personal. It was mutual derecherets. Mutual respect. And I want to share with you a few into my chava, Rabbi Daniel. He called me Sholem Ben, I called him Daniel. With an Elach Yid, where I come from, one of the best you can say about a person is as an Elach. In the world, the Chassidish world, my father, Oliver Sholem, my grandfather, when they would say, as an Elacha, there wasn't a greater kind of title much than calling another person an Elacha, integrity, honest. You know where you stand. You know what where you together around the table. With the Gvaldika Tamachochem, always with a word, deep thinker. We heard before, he was an asking for the klal, visionary builder, all that you've heard. But I knew him as a chava. I always remember the Purim when he came. I was telling to Rabbi, when he came to Purim, I think it was Lamed Hey, Lamed Vov, to the first Chabad house in 5220th Northeast. He came Purim tonight as Shushan Purim. So I said, I'd say the word. We both Makayim, the mitzvah Adla Yada together, Kol Hadeis, according to all halachic opinions, myself and Rabbi Daniel, we fulfilled the mitzvah of Adla Yada. I'm not going to get into the protim, through all the detail what that means. Only about 3-4, he came with somebody from Silver Park. It was one chem, I think Abba Samuels was there together. And it was good. And the words between us then, and we had a good conversation, even after the Adla Yada, an honest conversation, with a tremendous inspiration on emes, on truth, on ehrlichkeit, on Torah values, always with a sefer, always with a word. He embodied what he taught. He was a leader in our community, with a leader which has paid a pedis, as has been mentioned, many, many and beyond, who are here and not here, more who are not here than who are here, are influenced, adayim b'zem, building mishpoches, families in Yiddishkeit, with the values of Torah and mitzvahs. Ayesh Rabbi Daniel Mechila, as is traditional, we did have, you should be an advocate for Klal Yisrael in the matziv ha'hiva, in the situation we find ourselves now. Achene b'nei Yisrael, who are fighting against Yimach Shemom, those who are wanting to destroy us. I know Rabbi Daniel. Will be mispalel for the kisa COVID, for Rachmim, for Rachmonis. He will be relentless and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to merachem al Klal Yisrael.
Rabbi Fox. Okay, we've hit the half hour mark, so let's all stand up for a minute and just stretch a little bit here, you know? Lift up our arms, you know, right? How about a few deep breaths? Okay, now I think we can continue. Okay. Well, good morning. I noticed that Mrs. Fruma Rosenthal has joined us and members of the Rosenthal family. So our greetings to the Rosenthal family and all the other people that have joined us online. I'm Rabbi Bernie Fox. I came to Seattle in 1980. I taught for Yeshivat Or HaTzafon, which became Northwest Yeshiva High School. And I taught middle school here at SHA. My classroom was down here at the end of the hall in the corner. As a matter of fact, our first son, Yosef, had his milah in, not the lab, it was then the multipurpose room down here. And I'm guessing that Al might have been there. Okay, all right. And Rabbi Rosenthal at that time had started and was the dean of YOH, north of Yeshiva Torah Tzafon. And together, we worked together for 5 years until he relocated to New York. And a few years after that, I accepted the head of school position, which I served in for 33 years. Now, some people tell me that I was a good head of school. There are others who disagree. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think that there are some people that could have done a better job, and others not as well. But I know two things. First, I worked very hard to do my best. But second, much of the success I did achieve was because of the lessons I learned from Rabbi Rosenthal. So I want to share with you two of those lessons so that you can use them in your lives. The first lesson I learned from Rabbi Rosenthal was how to treat people. Rabbi Rosenthal was my boss, but he treated me like a partner. I didn't feel I worked for him. I worked with him. YOH wasn't his school, it was our school. And because we were partners, I worked harder, took on extra responsibilities, and I felt good about my work and my accomplishments. Now, how did he do it? How did he make his faculty and staff feel like his partners? There are two factors. The first is something, frankly, we can all do if we try. He created opportunities for us to have input. And he respected and took our input very seriously. He constantly posed questions to us. He sincerely believed we had something to offer and he wanted to hear it. Of course, sometimes he gave us orders, but that was balanced with the interest he took in our opinions and our insights. The second way he made us feel like partners is more difficult to emulate. He had a remarkable respect for others. He valued everyone at the school and was sincerely interested in them. Let me explain what I mean when I say that this is remarkable. It's easy to respect some people, but to others, we just feel superior. If we have to, we can pretend to appreciate those we think are lesser than ourselves, and we can act like we are interested, but it's not easy to be authentic with everyone. When Rabbi Rosenthal spoke to the janitor, he treated him like he was the most critical person in the school. He was letting that janitor know that he depended on him and that he appreciated him. When you show others respect and appreciation, they feel good about working with you. And they feel they are working with you and not for you. In 1974, starting a yeshiva high school in Seattle was not just ambitious. It was insane. How do you recruit students for a tiny school? How do you attract quality faculty? Where will the money come from? And who is going to take on responsibility of meeting all of those challenges? It's a crazy idea, but it did happen. The school did slowly build momentum, and little by little, it became more accepted, attractive, and financially sound. Sometimes we can make improbable things happen, but only if we aim high and accept the challenge. I will summarize life lessons that you should learn from Rabbi Rosenthal. One, you will get more from people, from friends, from teammates, from employees or coworkers when you treat them respectfully, take an interest in them, value their opinions and their perspectives, make others feel valued, and they will value you. Two, set ambitious goals for yourself. Don't settle for mediocrity. Take a chance. You will get further in your lives if you aim high, even if sometimes you fail, than by playing it safe and settling for mediocrity. I shared with you lessons that you can use in your life, but I also want to challenge you. There is no such thing as a self-made person. We are who we are is influenced and determined by our community, family, friends, and the environment in ways that we recognize or may not. Your experiences at SHA and NYHS play a substantial role in who you are and who you will become. Look around you. So many of your teachers and others who work at or volunteer at our schools are either graduates of NYHS or grew up with NYHS students as their closest friends. Many of your parents were NYHS students. Now look beyond your family. Look at our synagogues and other organizations, especially within the Orthodox community. How many NYHS alums do you see? Ask yourself, did Rabbi Rosenthal start a high school, or did he create a community? And where would we be, and who would you be, if he had not created all this around us? He did so much for us. Now, how do we show appreciation? I'll answer that question. We demonstrate appreciation by continuing the work that he started. We have a wonderful community, and it could be even greater. But it will be our job to build on this foundation. It will be our responsibility and your responsibility to be the leaders. We have benefited from Rabbi Rosenthal's sacrifices, efforts, and courage. Now it's our turn. What will we do? That's our challenge. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you so much. Many of our speakers were so inspired by everyone. At this moment, we're going to set it up so that Rabbi Pinny Rosenthal, Rabbi Rosenthal's, Daniel Rosenthal's son, can address us. As soon as we have it all set, we are ready to go.
Okay. You guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to begin by thanking Rabbi Weiss, Rabbi Gavai, and all the leadership of the Seattle Hebrew Academy and North Yeshiva High School for having this special event. My father and our family last lived in Seattle, Washington in July 1985. That is 38 and a half years ago. Yet we're having this memorial service, and which is shocking in a certain sense, because in life, you will meet people whose fundamentally main vision is, what have you done for me lately? Now, the speakers have shared with you that my father, Rabbi Daniel Rosenthal, Zichrono Livracha, his efforts is affecting everybody here in the room and the Seattle community to this very day. But I just want to share that this experience that we're having this morning for 1 hour is unique and special of people of emulating and inhabiting the principle of Hakar Tato, of having deep gratitude, appreciation of the good for where it comes from. And I think that itself is a very big lesson that everybody in the room should take. In 1977, or 76, 77, I was a student of the Seattle Hebrew Academy. I graduated 1981. Then I graduated Yeshivat Or HaTzafon, now North Yeshiva High School, in 1985. So I had my father as both a teacher and a principal. Would anybody like to have that? So it was a good experience. My father taught me Chumash in the third grade. I think that's 1975. And he was very energized and enthusiastic teacher. I also, of course, I learned with him, you know, through my whole life, obviously, but certainly and also in my high school. And if you want to know what really was his internal passion that allowed him to start not only the North Yeshiva High School, YOH, but as well as the Torah Academy of Suffolk County, and co-found the Masoret Institute for Advanced Women's Learning, is that he had a love of learning and an enthusiasm, and he just got excited about the prospect, and he loved it so much, he knew he wanted everybody to join in the love of Torah. And therefore, that motivated him, and was going back when he was the principal of the Seattle Hebrew Academy and seeing the graduates going on to Franklin High School or Lakeside or any of the other fine public or private institutions, he saw that all the effort and Jewish growth that students achieved in the Seattle Hebrew Academy was going to be, unfortunately, undone by a different perspective that they'd find in the public school system. So he felt it was critical. Now, here's an interesting fact. As Rabbi Fox pointed out, it was a crazy idea, but many Orthodox Jews were not even in favor of it. It was like viewed as shocking. Like, why would you do that? Now, of course, every major or even mid-level Jewish community across North America has a Jewish high school, but that was considering cutting edge. And he wanted to do it. He recognized that there was a future of the Jewish people was dependent upon it. Did whatever he could. He had to do things that he did not like to do, such as fundraising. But Baruch Hashem, we feel grateful. We're coming up on the end of the 30-day period. And I want to tell you one thing that has happened in our lives, us the family, that we've had people over my father's 50 years, 60 years of involvement in Jewish education say the following things. I would not be an observant Jew, a Jew, or a Jew who is involved in a Torah life, if it wasn't for your father. And through the schools and the various people, we're talking about thousands of people who've been impacted by the vision and effort and mission of my father. So I really am deeply appreciated together, myself, my mother, my sisters who are on the call here. We appreciate that you guys are taking the moment to appreciate that, because my father was a very unassuming kind of person. He sort of inhabited the principle that those who run away from honor, honor runs after them. And this assembly today is a testament to that. So I just want to thank you all for coming and learning a little bit about my father and understanding that all of us are in many ways dwarfs sitting on the shoulders of giants and able to have a better, richer Jewish life because of that. Thank you so much. Yehei Zichro Baruch.
So at this time, I'd like to call up the students, second generation, third generation students to come up who have a message. I mean by second generation of students that are, right? Parents of one family, right? Okay. Oh, come up. Let's go. Yeah. All of you, come up. Come over the camera so you can see. Come on. Jacob Lucas, I know you want to. Come on, let's go. Guys, let's go.
The ladies.
Oh, man, second generation. Come on.
Okay. My name is Charlie Foyer. I'm only able to be here today thanks to Rabbi Rosenthal, a visionary who ignited the flame of yeshiva education in our community. As second generation attendees of NYHS, my parents are Zev Foyer and Rebecca Angel Foyer. We are the living embodiment of his dedication and passion for providing Jewish youth with a nurturing environment to thrive academically and spiritually in their hometown. Rabbi Rosenthal's pioneering spirit not only established the first Jewish high school in Seattle, but also laid the foundation for generations to come. His tireless efforts have left an indelible mark, shaping the lives of countless individuals and strengthening the fabric of our Jewish community. As we remember him today, let us honor his memory by continuing to uphold the values of education, community, and Torah that he held dear. Rabbi Rosenthal's light may have dimmed, but the glow of his legacy will forever illuminate our hearts and minds.
Well, this is a very what a special morning. Want to first, of course, mention and pay recognition to the family who is on the Zoom today. I feel like I have, through my life, been kind of catching up, constantly one step behind Rabbi Rosenthal. When I was in kindergarten, Rabbi Rosenthal was the dean of Seattle Hebrew Academy. And then he left and he went to Northwest Yeshiva High School. And then he left Northwest Yeshiva High School in 1985. And I came to Northwest Yeshiva High School in 1986. He was the head of Margolin Hebrew Academy in Memphis in the late 1990s. And I became the head Margolin Hebrew Academy, Feinstein Yeshiva of the South in Memphis in 2015. And then I was fortunate to be able to come back to Seattle to lead Seattle Hebrew Academy. So that relationship that I have with Rabbi Rosenthal is something that he's always been kind of a luminary who has been someone who, I don't know that I was directly following him, but that he's been an influence on my life since I was a very, very young child. Since I was 5 years old, 4 years old, coming to Seattle Hebrew Academy. And I remember him. And I think when I saw him later in life, I felt this tremendous closeness with him. I don't know that it was reciprocated necessarily because I was young. Again, I didn't have the same relationship. But I always saw him as someone who was this great luminary of Torah education and Torah leadership that I felt a closeness with, I felt an affinity for, and that someone who I emulate today, very much in my professional capacity and in my personal capacity. So this is what we're looking at today is a legacy for Rabbi Rosenthal and for Mrs. Rosenthal and the Rosenthal family. It's a loss for Klal Yisrael, and we were very fortunate, Ashrenu, that we had the influence of Rabbi Rosenthal for each of us, for our community, and for Klal Yisrael, and this is a very, very special opportunity for us to recognize all the work that they have done as a family, and Rabbi Rosenthal has done that. Tehei nishmato tzura b'tzura chaim. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much. This ends the program. Go back to learning. Okay.